that I recently found inside my machzor the Kabbalahs I made in my second year in Eretz Yisrael. Now, it was a long list. I had just gone to Eretz Yisrael, and it was before, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and I made a list of the Kabbalahs I wanted to work on for the upcoming year. I did not follow the guidance that's normally given to people when you make Kabbalahs. Rabbi Yopian famously says you should write 100 things down, whittle your list down to one, cut it in half, and work on that one thing. That's a realistic Kabbalah for Yom HaNarayim. I had 75 things written down on my list of Kabbalahs to work on for the Yom HaNarayim. And the fascinating thing was is that in all 75 areas, I was significantly better. I was not perfect in any of them, but there's a lot of improvement. But I didn't remember ever working on any of them. So the shaila is, how does one improve on 75 areas without working on any of them? And the simple answer is Talmud Torah connected kula. When you, I don't know if any of you work out, but sometimes you can work out and you can have a focused exercise in a certain part of your body. You work on your biceps, work on your tricep, work on your core, and there's focused exercises you can do. But sometimes you can do a total body workout. So too, when it comes to mitzvahs work on specific parts of ruchnias, they work on specific parts of avodas Hashem. When you get involved in limud Torah, it's the total body workout. It improves everything. Everything gets better. Your home gets better. Your life gets better. Your simchas chaim gets better. Your parnasa gets better. Everything gets better when you read the Torah. And therefore, you're going to be seeing on the, so to speak, off the heels of this convention, a lot of major progress coming out of the Aguda, coming out of other organizations as well, just pushing anything you could do. I know that Minneapolis has Kinyan Masechta. Definitely get involved in that. Yerucha, Shifty, Araisa, any of these programs that work for you, or how about a very simple, crazy idea? Just open a Gemara and learn a Taisus. What's the program?
Daf
Shavua. Got to do Daf Shavua. Or even if you're doing Daf Yomi, do a couple of Taisus and whatever you can do to further, so to speak, throw yourself into your learning, it must be done. And throughout the entire weekend, all the Rosh Yeshiva spoke about it. Rav Yudi Svei spoke about it Thursday night. Rav Eli Brody spoke about it Leil Shabbos. Rav Malkiel Moshe Lahor spoke about it Motzei Shabbos. It's just this Yisoid. It's going to obviously get the recordings of the ones you can listen to, but it's significantly important that we're able to focus on the topic of Limud HaTorah. This coming week's parsha has the story of the Pachim Ketanim when Yaakov Avinu went and Sarah Shal Esav came to attack him. And the famous question of Elchanan asks is that how come there's no one ever attacked Avram, no one ever attacked Yitzhak? Yaakov comes along and all of a sudden Sarah Shal Esav comes to attack him. And the way I like to say it over is that the Yitzhak says, I like to be as effective and as impactful as possible. Do all the chesed you want of Avram, do all the davening you want of Yitzhak, just don't learn Torah. If you learn Torah, then I'm toast. That's what the Yitzhak understands. And that's why he tries to stop it from Limud HaTorah. And that's why he dafka came to attack Yaakov Avinu. So again, if you want to have one takeaway from the Aguda Convention, is this one takeaway. And obviously, I'm dealing with individuals here that are committed to that Yisoy, taking off a day of work, coming to Chicago to learn B'Iyan, the Chicago Community Kollel, in the Cheshem Mishpat Kollel, and tells them this afternoon, obviously chapa right now, but use this energy, so to speak, to propel you forward to be able to maximize the opportunity towards your own Limud HaTorah. So that was one of the yesodos that came out, you know, very, very clearly. Another yesod that came out from the convention, which is another basic idea, is the idea of taking achrayas. I'm sure many of you are involved in the community of Minneapolis and other initiatives in the community. But Rabbi Yedid, when he spoke Motzei Shabbos, another classic of his, very worthwhile to listen to him, but he established a very basic idea, which I'm sure you intuitively understand, but he was making it very clear, is that it's not that those who have taisas on nefesh and those who have abilities should take on the responsibility, take on the projects, help the kailo, help the yeshiva, help the shul, help the schools in the community. It really always works the other way around. Those who accept responsibility, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the kaychus, he gives you the abilities to do it afterwards. And it's such a basic thing, I've seen it time and again, that, and he said very sharp, but very accurately, he says, and in case someone asks you to do something, and you think you're a nobody, you are a nobody. You're a nobody. It's only what Hashem gives you. The kaychas HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, the means that he gives you, and the kaychas he gives you, and the personality he gives you, and the drive that he gives you. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once you accept it upon yourself, then all of a sudden you start finding tremendous siyata d'shamaya in all the things that you do. I had the opportunity to speak by the Shabbos Day Suda at the convention. So one maisa that I mentioned, this idea of just making good decisions and hopping around in opportunities, is that right now there's a shiva in Chicago, the Shabbat family. I don't know if any of you know any of the Shabbats, Ronnie and Danny Shabbat, Nati Shabbat, one of the dynasties of the Chicago Jewish community, built many of the maestas, many of the yeshivas, and the great-grandmother was Nefteris just this past week on Erev Shabbos, Mrs. Sylvia Shabbat. What is her story, and why is their family named Shabbat? So the story behind it is very, very simple. Is that Mrs. Sylvia Shabbat, when she was 27 years old, was abandoned by her husband. She was raising four children on her own. She didn't have a penny to her name. And then her mother got deathly ill. And on her deathbed, the great-great-grandmother says to Sylvia, I want you to raise your kids Jewish. And she said, I didn't even know I was Jewish. What do you mean? And what does it mean to raise your children Jewish? And right after Shiva, she was sitting on her balcony. She was not even dressed tzanua. And a rabbi in Washington, D.C. walks outside. His name is Rabbi Malin. And she runs down the steps. She runs over to him and says, Rabbi Malin, are you a rabbi? Are you Jewish? It seems to be you're a Jewish person. Are you? So he says, yes, I am. She says, how can I help you? She said, well, honestly, I am a single mother raising four children. My mother told me on her deathbed, and she just recently passed away, that I should raise my kids Jewish. I don't even know what that means. So he said to her, I recently opened the yeshiva in the D.C. area. If you come and be the cook for our yeshiva, I'll give you free room and board and free education for your children. And that was the starting point of the Shabbat family. The kids do not know what their original name was, but she was sitting in yeshiva one day cooking in the kitchen, and she said to everybody, I don't want to use my old name anymore. This is a man that abandoned me. What name should I take on? And the bachurim in yeshiva voted she should make her name Shabbat, so she'll always remember a Yiddish concept of keeping Shabbos. And that's why the name is Shabbat. A wild idea. She was Nefteres' past era of Shabbos with 197 descendants. And many, many maestas and klais that are built because of her. These are the ideas that we're talking about. You make one little decision. You don't realize the impact of the decisions that you're making. And Baruch Hashem, Siyat HaDishmaya, give me that decision. And as well, when you obviously get inspired, you find yourself surrounded by amazing people, you have to chap around an opportunity. The Meshech Chachma says, this past week's Parsha, but right at the end of the parsha, when Lavan and Yaakov separated from each other, it says, "Vayashav Lavan l'mkaymai, v'Yaakov halach l'darkai." So the Meshech Chachma says beautifully. He says, "You would imagine if Lavan spent all these years with Yaakov Avinu, his words are that he would have been nisbasim, he would have been spiced up, he would have been influenced a little bit by being around a tzaddik like this." But the pasuk testifies, "Vayashav Lavan l'mkaymai." He went back to be exactly how he was before. Yaakov is halach l'darko, but Yaakov Avinu is the one who always steigs and always grows. Lavan in gematria is 82. Yaakov is 182. 100 apart exactly. He was a nobody, and Yaakov was everything. Because the whole yisayit of everything in life is when you have this hisayiris, you have this inspiration, you have these opportunities to get involved in limud haTorah, to get involved in tzarchet tzibur and taking on achrayas. If you make a good decision, you become like Yaakov Avinu, you become everything. And you can build a mishpacha like the Shabbat family, but unfortunately, if you don't hop right on that opportunity, then you become the nobody that we spoke about before. So these are just some of the yisodos. I don't like overspeaking. If you'd like to ask any questions, definitely feel free. But I think the key yisod that you're going to be hearing over and over again is that there are so many issues, we need to target the issues, but the more you're able to commit to seriously limud haTorah, it's going to really smooth over a lot of those inyanim, and shel bizecha bezez Hashem to have that siyach with you.
Amen.
100 is like, no, Shlemus is 100, so the idea is that it's 0 versus